Welcome back, guys. Happy Halloween from everyone on the DGS. So this year we are presenting three listener stories. The first half hour is going to be Lizzie. She was fantastic. I think you're really going to enjoy this about a haunted daycare. Please enjoy.
I own child care centers, and up until 2019, I had owned them for 26 years, and it was really great owning them. But there's one that is just kind of haunts me still. It was a child care center, and it had been a house. And originally, it was a home for some people that kind of owned the IGAs and that sort of thing in St. Charles County. And then it was a preschool. And you can't even say the name of this preschool anymore because it would be offensive. So when we got the opportunity, we owned a preschool just down the road, and our licensing rep said, hey, you guys are growing. You know, there is association that is going out of business. Would you like to come up and see it? So we went up to the house, but it looked very much like 1950s, 1960s, because apparently it was built in 1959. So it had the shag carpeting and the paneling and all of that, and it was an absolute wreck. It had the people, you could tell, left in a really big hurry. I found out later why, but I didn't know at the time. So with new regulations and things, we had to redo the whole building. But then all of a sudden, just some strange things started happening. And when these strange things would happen, I would go to the landlord who lived just right down the street and talk to her. And what was odd about the landlords is at the time, I thought they were really old, but they're not much older than I am now. But I was like in my 20s. So I thought these people were really old and kind of antiquated. And every time I paid my rent, I would have to go to their home and pay the rent, and like grandma and grandpa would give me dinner and that sort of thing. Now looking back years later and knowing all about what I'm going to tell you, it was very condescending how they were talking to me. And one of a crazy thing, it would start really subtle. And the first thing that happened is the downstairs at the preschool was crazy with the kids. You could set up the cutest centers and the kids would just act crazy. They would run around with their heads cut off. They would tear things up. This was back in the 90s. So it was when record players you had the records. So they would take the records off the record player and then just like fling them, like fling, 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 fling. And it would be like just awful. You would take those same kids from downstairs and move them upstairs. They didn't act like that anymore at all. So at first that was all that it was. And I started getting aggravated with my teachers too, because I was like, you can't get them to behave. And so I knew something was really odd that when you took them from downstairs to upstairs, something was going on, but I didn't think it was anything scary. I just thought, well, this is an old building. But while we were having this construction done, I had construction worker after construction worker tell us they would not come back and work there anymore. And most of the construction work would have to be done at night because the kids were there in the day. And I started hearing the construction workers say, do you have like a record player playing downstairs? Do you have, I keep hearing a little girl in the corner, and there was a bathroom, and person after person that worked there would report the same thing. They would see a little shadow that would go by. They would hear a little girl, you know, singing a song. They would see her, and the ones that would see her would say she kind of had a flowing dress with blonde curly hair. And of course, I never heard any of that. I wasn't there at night. So I kind of didn't think much of that either. So finally, when I couldn't get another worker to work there again, I asked my father-in-law to come. And at the time, he was in construction. And he also installed security cameras to see what was really going on there at night, see if somebody was breaking in, because it was on, at the time, it was more rural, but it was, now there's subdivisions back there. He just thought maybe kids were breaking in. But he put a security camera in, and my husband was there with him, and they both, I can't say they got freaked out, but they could see on the camera that something like whitish gray would kind of go across the camera. At the same time, you would hear a little girl giggling in the basement. So that was another odd thing. We heard that over and over and over again, but it was that big of a deal. And more things happened. For example, one day I was at our other location and the teachers called me freaking out that out of the furnace, fire just, I wouldn't say fire, it was smoke that was just coming out of the furnace. So it would only take me about 10 minutes or so to get from one facility to another facility. And when I got there, the fire department would already be there. And they just said, at first, that was kind of odd. It's like the smoke kind of came out of your furnace, but we can't find where it originated or why. You can bring the kids back in. We'll just call it freak thing. So I called in a heating and cooling company and they didn't find anything wrong with it either. And this didn't just happen once. This happened three times. Then I had was at my other location and I get a phone call that they had to evacuate the kids out of the basement again because water started pouring in from the bottom, like from the ground and coming up. Took me about 10 minutes to get there. But by the time I got there, the wall, you could see where the water was, but it was already receding back into the ground. So, I mean, all those things are just so weird, but they happened, you know, with weeks in between. I still was being aggravated, and I really thought the landlord was right. I was just young. I was busy, had a couple preschool. I had a couple little kids that maybe, you know, I was just overwhelmed. Maybe that was it. But these things just kept happening, and it dawned on me, kind of to back up a little bit, one of the first things we noticed weird was in the laundry room was a washer and dryer, and it had kind of a fluorescent light, kind of like what's in here, almost identical, and it was always on. There was no switch to turn it off, and so I called my father-in-law and asked him, and he said, you're going to have to call an electrician. I don't see any wires even run to it. So I called an electrician and he was like completely freaked out because he said, there's no juice. And I remember the word juice like it was yesterday. He goes, there's no juice to this light at all. So there was no way to I probably could have maybe taken it out of the ceiling, but at the time I was freaked out to touch that. So you've got water coming up the side. You've got furnaces going on. You have little kids acting crazy in the basement. You hear people that were workers, everyone in the basement said the same thing. It was kind of a freaky incident. During that period of time, I ran into someone that used to, kind of a coincidence, that used to work at ARC. And she told me, you do know why we left, don't you? And I was like, no, I could tell you left in a hurry because the basement was all junked up. They just said their children that had special needs could not even come to school and go into the basement because they would act out and bite and hit and slap and pull hair. So they put everybody upstairs. But then it got to the point that all of their employees quit. So that's why they had to close. And she said, I swear that place is haunted. Still at that point, I wasn't at that point that there was something paranormal going in there, but that was just another thing that I heard going on. So then that was probably going on. This took about a year, year and a half for this to go on. And then all of a sudden, one night I was at home and the alarm goes off. And it was probably at midnight, our security alarm at our house. So I don't run up there right away. My husband runs up there right away because I had small kids. I do end up getting there later. By the time I get there, there is, in St. Charles County in the day, there wasn't that much crime. So this was like big deal stuff. So there was like six St. Charles County police officers all in the front of the preschool at like midnight on a weeknight. And their guns are all drawn on the outside of the building. And so they were asking my husband for the key. And they said, because someone is in your building. But what's odd about that is your building has not been breached. There's been no window open. There's been no doors unlocked. So it has to be something internal. Either an employee stayed later or a kid got in and then was smart enough to lock it. So we walked into where this was happening. And there was a bathroom. And this particular house had been totally redone except for the bathroom. So if you can envision a 1950s bathroom with like the block windows and the little colored tile, that's what these bathrooms still looked like with like a changing table slapped in there. So it was on the first floor. There's policemen outside, and then there's also policemen inside with their guns drawn telling us to get back because they saw someone in that bathroom. shuffling. The light was left on and someone's feet were under there just shuffling back and forth and backing forth. And they were sure someone was in there. So they made us leave outside the building, but they asked for the key to the bathroom because somehow the bathroom door locked from the inside. And when they opened the door, there was nobody there. And the police found that. I will never forget the look on their face, that there were six police officers and they all thought for sure there was someone in there. And there was nowhere to get out because the only window had those 1950s, 60s blocks. So they were really, really perplexed.
Welcome back, guys. Happy Halloween from the DG as we now present to you part two of Lizzie's story about the haunted daycare.
Where it got really strange is I knew that I couldn't keep kids in there if I thought something odd was happening because I don't believe in ghosts necessarily. I didn't believe in anything paranormal, but I knew something was odd. I knew it was. You couldn't just Google stuff then or just look on your phone. You had to literally go and use like a Rolodex and a microfiche machine. So I pull the machine up and I learn that at that same house, there was a very severe farm accident that had happened on the grounds there. And it was where I still to this day kind of get hair that stands up on the back of my neck. The little girl is the exact same description of the little girl everyone was seeing, blonde, curly hair, kind of the flowing dress. And I never got an answer from her what happened at first. So I went and I dug some more and I found out that that little girl at that farming accident had been brought inside, put in the bedroom near the bathroom that the police officer at, and right above the bathroom that they saw the little girl, and she died. She died in the house. So I never figured out whether some people say that that's the little girl haunting that place. Some people say it's a demon. I don't know. So we left because at that point there was too many freaky things that were happening and the parents were starting to get freaked out and they were like, we want to go to one of your other facilities. We don't want to be here anymore. And so we did leave. And after that, a child care center came in. They're no longer in business anymore. They were there maybe a year. And he also ran an African-American church. And he would call me and tell, and he asked me, was I in there at any length of time? Because he's sure that place was haunted. Had the same exact stories that we had had. And he said his church even prayed over it and the thing was still in there. So they left. So bring it up to like modern day. There is still a child care center in there. And it was about, gosh, so that was like over 30 years ago. But I want to say about 5 years ago, when I still owned my preschools, I was at a conference where the current owner, who's in there now, but when I was at the conference, I realized that school was sitting at the same table as me after all these years, but I never brought it up to them. I just felt that wasn't my place. Maybe I was crazy. Maybe all that stuff. It was so long ago that I thought maybe I dreamt all that. I knew I didn't, but you still think I'm just going to let it go. At a break, the owner came up to me and she asked me if I had been there. And I said, yes. She asked me if anything weird went on there. And I said, yes, that's why I left. And she said, do you think it's haunted? I said, yes, I now definitely think it was haunted. I don't know who was haunting it. And she said, well, I don't. And I hope you don't tell anybody at this table that it's haunted because it would be bad for business. And I said, I understand that. I wasn't going to say anything. I wondered if I was dreaming all that many years ago. And she goes, no, you're not dreaming, but my staff doesn't know it's haunted. So she walks away. And after another break, two of her managers were sitting there and they both said to me, oh, we know it's haunted. We absolutely know it is. She's just in denial because it is bad for business. She said, but we've actually even named two entities that are in there that we think are in there. We think there is a very mean ghost in there named George. So they had named it George. And they said it makes the kids mean. It revs them up down in the basement. They no longer have albums, but they'll just knock over, say, not really a CD player, but probably the Alexa they have down there. And they said the kids just do not behave whatsoever. It's still going on in that same building. And that's just really freaky. That so there's now four preschools that have been in that building that could tell you the same story.
Wow. I got lots of chills on that one. Did you ever see anything or experience anything yourself when you were there?
I did. What I would experience is like a presence in the building, primarily downstairs. I would see the same thing too, out of the corner of my eye. And it was more for me, I didn't see it as much as all the staff and my husband and them did, because I worked in a different building. But you could feel some sort of a chilliness in the basement. And at first you just think it's a basement, so it's colder. But we're talking about a 30 degree difference between upstairs and in just one corner of that basement. So it's very creepy. It really is. And people will ask me, what do you think it is? Do you think it's a ghost? Do you think it's a demon? I don't know, but it's enough that I pulled an entire preschool out of there that I didn't think these children should be playing with something that they were talking to. I did see that, where the kids would talk to somebody. And at the time, kids imaginary play. So I thought they were just imaginary playing. But it was the kids, no matter if it was that class or a different class that would come down, they were always talking to the same little girl, could describe her with the curly hair with a giggly laugh. So it just sends chill up your spine when I see that, when I started to believe something happened. And I don't know, because it was so many years ago, who the little girl was. The last name is the same. So by the ages, I would think it was probably a niece or a daughter, not a granddaughter. At the time, I think I was telling people I thought it was a granddaughter, but this lady that was like in her 50s, early 60s, in my 25-year-old mind, I thought she was 80. So that's the only thing that has ever differed, is I used to say it was the granddaughter. Now I think it was a niece or a daughter. So something happened, and my heart breaks for them if that really happened. But now even modern day people ask me, you know how sometimes people say what they want to the papers and they print things, and sometimes there's fake news. I don't want to say that, but something like that. Maybe that wasn't even correct, that was on the microfiche, because if that lady was so upset and didn't want anyone to know, maybe it wasn't a farm accident. Maybe it was something else.
Wow. So that was great. That was really good. Welcome back, guys. We are here with listener Todd, who has a spooky story about a house in Webster Groves where he moved when he was 5 years old, 1964. And Todd, as we talked about before we went on, I'm just going to kind of throw it to you and you tell me your story and I'll interrupt you when I need to.
Okay. We moved in 64 because of the growing family needs, and my mom saw it, fell in love with it. My dad said they want too much for it. Eventually, when the owners had to pay their first heating bill, they sold. And we moved in the middle of the school year. And within a year, in the master bedroom where my parents were, and they had the usual pictures of the four kids and a knickknack shelf. And I forget which one happened first, but I think it was the knickknack shelf started to rattle. They could hear stuff. And my dad got out of bed, went over, grabbed the shelf, and it stopped. He let go of the shelf, and it started again. He grabbed the shelf, it stopped. He let go, it started again. Thought that was sort of odd. Eventually, we had an engineer come to the house to inspect it, because it was built in 1885 or 86, so it wasn't a century. There was a train track nearby, but Interstate 44 had not been built yet, so there wouldn't have been that. But the engineer said the house is as sound as could be. The family kid picture started to shake and couldn't figure that out. In my sister's room, which is also on the second floor, in sort of the turret part of the house that you can see. Her doors would open, and she could hear footsteps on the floor, and then her door to the hallway would open, and no idea why. There was no cat, no reason, no wind or for that to occur, and she could hear the footsteps. Eventually, my mom talked to her sister, who talked to one of her daughter, or yeah, one of her daughters, who happened to know a medium, and we had a seance, which unfortunately I was too young to go to because I was only 5 or 6, and being a older house, my dad wanted to take advantage of the period. My mom loved antiques and decorated in the late Victorian style. She had some oil lamps, and so we had 2 oil lamps in the living room, and the dining room, which was where the seance was held, was visible and connected. And the night of the seance, they had 3 sessions, and during the first session, there was some figure that was described as a grandfather. And he asked why people were in his house. I don't remember all the details. After the session ended, my dad asked, what did everybody experience? And several people said, somebody said their chair or their back had been pushed. And many people had that. The people who were on the side of the table that were looking into the living room saw the oil lamp flare up as bright as a 100-watt light bulb, then dim, then flare back up and dim, and flare back up. And later on, I think the second session, a character or a spirit named Billy came in or was involved, I think, with the grandfather, and they learned something of the stuff with Billy. Then that session ends, and my dad, a couple of the girls, go upstairs because this old house really didn't have good bathroom fixtures downstairs. And so they had a bathroom upstairs right off my parents' room. And so they were sent upstairs to use the bathroom up there. And my dad said, hey, look into the bedroom and see if anything's happening. And of course, nothing was. But they went up there, used the bathroom, and they came out. And my sister had come out of her room, and she had bedhead and was wearing a blue robe. And they've been hearing nothing but Billy, Billy, Billy for all this time. And then my sister comes out looking just like Billy. And so they ran downstairs in terror. And so my dad calmed him down. And later that next day, my sister asked, and I don't remember their name, but I think it was Helen. Why did they run away screaming? It was really sort of funny for Tish. The third session, I don't know much about enough to say, but these all occurred in the 1965-66 time frame. We had a couple of other sessions with Ouija boards and other things. There was one time I was walking through the house with the Barnabas Collins game. I forget the name of it. But
Dark Shadows.
Yeah, exactly. We had that. And it had a pendulum that hung at the end of this.
I remember this.
Yeah. And I was in the bedroom with that near the master fireplace in that bedroom, and it started swinging. The weirdest thing that happened to me was in October 1st of 1967. My grandfather passes away. He'd just gotten back from a trip to Europe. And my parents were at the funeral home. I think this was October 4th. So the house was empty except for the 4 kids and a few other people that were there because all the parents were up at the funeral home. And my brother decides that he was going to light one of Gumpa's pipes, and I forget which one, probably the Meerschaum, knowing him, he had taste. And when he did that, we were in the library, which was the first floor front turret. The house came alive. Footsteps on the ceiling directly above us, all sorts of noises. We went into upstairs to Tish's room, and all the pictures that were hanging on the wall were now on the floor in a mess. The doors were open where they usually were closed. So we go back downstairs to the library, and the pipe's not going to be smoked anymore. So we're walking down this really small hallway towards the kitchen. For some reason, I guess I was in the lead. And as I walked into the kitchen, it was sort of like the Alfred Hitchcock full body image floating across, and it was my grandfather. And I have never been, I'm willing to accept what I can't logically explain as it, am I going to accept it because it's in front of me. So that was probably one of the stranger things.
Were you scared? I mean, it was your grandpa. Were you scared or were you just intrigued?
More in the intrigue. I did think, well, that's really sort of strange, but more into the intrigue side.
Did more things happen to your siblings and parents than it did to you?
My parents, because of the master bedroom, that shelf did shake often. Our poltergeist really raised up for probably a couple of years just so that they knew that we knew they were there. And once we accepted them, they really didn't give us a lot of trouble. Now, we always did have, if Christ stands with me, who can stand against me? And that always was sort of the yellow flag we could throw, and they would immediately stop. We did have a great time with the basement of this house for Halloween. And my dad somewhat looked like Frankenstein. He was 6 foot tall and had crew cuts, and he'd wear his coat backwards and be at the basement door and direct the kids around our basement. And one time a kid looked down and it's like, nope, I'm not going down there. He looks like Frankenstein. But we would go all out and throw sheets all over the dirt floor basement and hang little strands of thread so it was like spider webs, and have string set out so that we could drop bolts into rain buckets and make these strange noises.
Did you ever do any research on the house?
It was originally built by the Webster Groves Presbyterian Church minister. It was one of the first houses that actually had running water. They built a water vat up at the top of the house in the third floor, which was the floor I grew up in. And so it actually had running water. History-wise, I haven't really looked at that. We were there from 64 until Mom passed away in 87. And what was sort of interesting is all the junk between the kids, we split it up. And we didn't hate each other at the end. We used a deck of cards, and whoever drew the high card got the pick. I didn't have a house yet, so all of my stuff got put into storage. And the day I did actually have a real job, my stuff got picked up by the company where I was going to work and moved down to, we moved to Salem. And when we unpacked, I was at work and my wife called me and said, Todd, you got to come home. There's something weird happening here. So I think what I happened to get at the draw from the house followed me down to Salem a couple years later.
Did it continue or did you get rid of the stuff?
She just heard her name called. And actually, thinking of names, my brother had a friend who went to school at UMR, and he had come up to visit, and he was sleeping in the guest room, and he woke up and heard cannon blasts coming from our backyard, and he heard his name being called, Chuck. And the bedroom that he happened to be in was a bed that my mom would sleep in on occasion, and she had corns, and she had corn plasters. And the next morning when Chuck woke up, he had a corn plaster square in the middle of his forehead.
Wow. Wow. Well, thanks for coming in. That's a good, that's a classic ghost story right there. And a real one that someone lived through. Welcome back, guys. Happy Halloween. So I hope you are enjoying this week. I've been enjoying this week. I'm going to read for you an email that I received, and it was very important to this person that he not be identified by even his first name. It's a story that happened back in the 1980s involving his brother and what seems like some sort of at least investigation into demonic possession. It's quite short. The whole thing is probably only 3 or 4 minutes long, but I believe the person. In the communications we had back and forth, he just seems like a very normal person in probably his mid to late 60s. And when he heard my call for stories, he submitted this. So I'm very happy that he did. So what you're about to hear is me reading the actual body of the email that I received. I wanted to write about something that happened when I was a teenager. I come from a well-to-do family, parentheses, you would probably recognize the last name, and lived in one of St. Louis's most exclusive neighborhoods. This happened in the early 1980s when I was a teenager. I had an older sister and a younger brother, 5 years younger than me. The story revolves around my younger brother. My father was Jewish and my mother was Catholic, although we were raised without much religion in the household. At some point, my parents became concerned about my brother's withdrawn and sullen behavior and periodic outbursts of anger and even mild violence. Although it's been a long time ago, I do remember hearing whispered discussions between my parents, and I know that my brother was taken to see several physicians. Long story short, after what seems like it must have been a few weeks or a couple of months, I met my first actual priest when he and an assistant came to my home to visit my brother. My mother told me that it was for spiritual counseling, but there were some things more dynamic going on. In my memory, the priest visited 2 or 3 times, during which, even though my bedroom was on a separate floor from my brother's, I could hear my brother yelling and cursing. This was a few years after the Exorcist movie came out, and I even asked my mother if my brother was possessed. I'll never forget what she said to me. She said, quote, "No, we just think that something has gotten a hold of him." Memory is watercolored by time, and so I don't remember the specific progression. But at some point, my brother returned to his normal self, played baseball, went on to become a professional, raised a family, and be a very normal person. My parents never really spoke about it again, and the one time I asked a question years later, they acted like they really didn't know what I was talking about. Just adding all of the events up, I believe that my parents and the priest must have at least suspected that my brother was being influenced by some sort of dark force. The only direct contact I ever had with him about it, back when the events were going on, I asked him one day if he was okay and if there was anything I could do. And he just stared at me blankly and then responded, quote, "Never trust mom or dad." The thing is, and this is the most chilling part of my story for me personally, is that when he said it in a different voice from his own. I don't mean to suggest that it was like a voice from The Exorcist or demonic possession movies. It was not. It was literally someone else's voice. It sounded like the voice of a grown man, possibly an older man. To this day, every now and then, I will think about that voice and have trouble getting back to sleep. Anyway, I'm not sure if this is what you were looking for a Halloween story. Probably not the most dynamic or scary, but it has the advantage of being true.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your
your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.